Welcome to Monday Morning Murder in the News with Alyssa Carroll.
Good morning, heathens, and happy Murder in the News Monday that I'm going to try to release every single Monday morning because the rest of the regular news is just hot, scary garbage, and you know you'd rather be hearing me in my bullshit anyway. So I've scoured the internet for the headlines so you don't have to. Happy commuting, and here we go. Now, I've gathered quite a few for you today. I hope you don't mind. Our first one comes from Newsweek and is titled, Man Hacks Wife and Son with Axe After Suspecting They Had Affair. A man in Punjab, India, was arrested Saturday for allegedly attacking his wife and his 17-year-old son with an axe earlier in the week after suspecting they had an affair, according to the police. Harjeet Singh has left his son Lovepreet, 17, and wife Jaswinder, 38, with serious injuries after striking them with the axe multiple times in a village in the city of Samralla following the attack that happened on Thursday. I've probably butchered the names, I apologize. The man then fled the scene with his other 14-year-old son and was later arrested by the Khanna police at the city of Anandpur Sehab, which is about 50 miles from Samralla. Crime and security have been among the pressing concerns in a country with a population over 1.4 billion. The Ground Report, an Indian digital news platform, revealed that the state of Kerala has the highest crime rate at 1,477.2, while Nagaland has the lowest crime rate at 67.2, according to data showing the highest charge sheeting rate under the Indian Penal Code crimes. The crime rate in Punjab, where the axe attack happened, stood at 242, lower than the rates reported in neighboring states. So this man, the father, said that he suspected that his wife developed a relationship with their own son and therefore allegedly tried to kill them both. The suspect also confirmed to the police that he is not a drug addict. Quote, during questioning, the accused said that he was keeping an eye on his wife and elder son for 5 days. On Thursday morning, he assaulted both of them with an intention to kill them. However, they survived. The axe was recovered from the crime scene. The victims were transferred to a hospital, and there are no details that were revealed about their conditions or the severity of their injuries. But they have undergone multiple surgeries. Our next article comes from a site called UPI US News. Title is Authorities Recover Bodies of Father and Son Missing 24 Days in Arkansas. So the bodies of a father and son who went missing nearly a month ago while kayaking in Arkansas have been found, authorities said Sunday. This would have been last Sunday. The bodies of Chuck Norris, the 46-year-old percussionist of the band Lotus, and his son, 20-year-old Charlie Norris, have been recovered following a 24-day search the Sheriff's Office for Benton County, located along Arkansas's northwestern border with Oklahoma to the west and Missouri to the north. Quote, our hearts go out to the family of Chuck and Charlie Morris, and we are thankful today that we can help bring closure, the office said. The announcement came hours after the Morris family confirmed in a statement distributed through Lotus's social media accounts that the body of Charlie Morris had been found and that the cause of death was drowning. The location of where the bodies were found was not released, but authorities had been searching since March 16th for the missing kayakers in the area of Lost Bridge Village of Beaver Lake. And so our next article comes from NJ.com, Cape May. The title says, woman arrested in New Jersey hours after 11-year-old son found dead in Pennsylvania home, cops say. A Pennsylvania woman was located in a Jersey Shore town on Tuesday, hours after her 11-year-old son was discovered dead by his father in a Pennsylvania home, the authorities said. The woman was found in Wildwood Crest a short time after officials in nearby Cape May found her SUV partially submerged in the ocean off Beach Avenue, the Montgomery County District Attorney's Office said Tuesday. She has not been charged in connection with her son's death as of early Tuesday afternoon. This was this past Tuesday. So Matthew Whitehead was found by his father in the master bedroom of a home on the 500 block of Privet Road on Horsham Township shortly after 7 a.m. He was found in Horsham Township. The father told police the bedroom was locked and the boy's mother's SUV was missing from the garage. The boy's cause of death will be determined by an autopsy. The SUV was found headfirst in the water at the cove at about 3:30 a.m. by a passerby who then called the police. Quote, police ran the Pennsylvania plate and discovered the person driving the vehicle was wanted for a homicide in Horsham, Pennsylvania. The woman who was driving was later arrested in Wildwood Crest this morning. End quote. It wasn't immediately clear what charges in New Jersey she is facing. Cape May is more than 120 miles from Horsham. Wildwood Crest Police Chief Robert Lloyd declined to comment, referring questions to the Cape May County Prosecutor's Office, which couldn't be immediately reached. Our next article also comes from NJ.com. Title is Man to Spend 30 Years in New Jersey Prison After Pleading Guilty to Killing Girlfriend. So the man accused of fatally stabbing Alicia Arnon in her Leonia apartment last year pleaded guilty Monday to first-degree murder. Niall, who was 36, appeared before Judge Susan Steele in Bergen County Superior Court and accepted the state's plea offer of 30 years in prison with no chance of parole. Had he stood trial and been convicted of murder, he faced a maximum sentence of life in prison, but opted for the mandatory minimum of 30 years behind bars and pled guilty. He entered his guilty plea on Monday during a court appearance in which he was accompanied by his attorney, Kathleen Thurer. Hope I pronounced that right. The Patterson residence admitted that on March 26, 2022, he stabbed Arnon, a 35-year-old single mother described by authorities as his girlfriend, at the woman's apartment on Grand Avenue. His attorney said under terms of the plea agreement, he must serve every day of his 30-year sentence. But instead of spending the rest of his life behind bars, the sentence offers him the hope that he may one day walk out of prison, she said. Quote, he took full responsibility for his actions and is very regretful. End quote. So police initially arrested Arnon's ex-boyfriend and charged him with the killing based on a statement the victim's 13-year-old daughter gave to the police. But after further questioning by detectives, the daughter said she was wrong and didn't see anyone on the night her mother was killed. So the actual murderer was arrested days later after detectives discovered phone recordings and text messages in which he confessed to the stabbing. The first suspect was freed, and our murderer was later indicted on charges of first-degree murder, weapons possession, and hindering apprehension. In exchange for his guilty plea, the state agreed to drop the weapons possession and hindering charges, but he has criminal charges pending in another county that will likely add more time to his sentence. Well, he just sounds like a winner, guys. Our next article comes from People, the crime section, and the title says, Dad convicted of murder after passing out drunk, quote, for days on end, end quote, as daughter, too, died of malnutrition. The girl's 6-year-old brother told the jury their dad would lock them in their rooms for days at a time while he, quote, slept. A Kansas father has been found guilty of murdering his 2-year-old daughter, who prosecutors said in court died of malnutrition while he was, quote, intoxicated and passed out for days on end. Jeffrey J. Exon, 47, was found guilty by a Shawnee County District Court jury on Monday over the death of Aurora Exon. Now, Shawnee County is up really close to Kansas City. Police were called by Exon to his Topeka home on January 5th, 2021 at approximately 10 a.m. An initial report from Shawnee County District Attorney Mike Kage said, quote, law enforcement and first responders found Exon's two-year-old daughter unresponsive, cold to the touch, with an appearance that she had been dead for several days, end quote. Exon had told the dispatcher his daughter had been, quote, starving herself, and authorities found five empty liquor bottles in his bedroom. Now, the girl's younger brother, who was 4 years old when his younger sister died, was called as a witness at the trial. He told the jury his dad would lock them in their rooms for days while he, finger quotes, slept, according to a press release from Kage as reported by the Associated Press. The court heard that Exxon's substance addiction issues caused him to not feed his children for days. Exon was convicted of first-degree murder in the commission of a felony, reckless but unintentional second-degree murder, aggravated child endangerment, and failure by a parent to report the death of a child. Aurora's mother, who did not have custody of the two children, last saw her daughter alive on December 26, 2020. So she hadn't seen them for... looks like, I don't know, a couple of weeks. So Exxon's sentencing has been scheduled for July 28th, 2023. And I'm going to bet that that's probably going to make the more popular news. So our next article also comes from People, the crime section, and the title says, daughter speaks about father who strangled, dismembered her mom, and searched, quote, how to get away with murder. Elizabeth, or Beth, Capaldi, 55, was killed by her husband on October 10th, 2022. She looks like a very lovely, nice lady. So the daughter of a Pennsylvania woman who was strangled, smothered, and dismembered last year confronted her father in court this week before he was sentenced to decades in state for the murder. Stephen Capaldi, 57, will spend 22 to 44 years behind bars for killing his wife, 55-year-old Elizabeth Capaldi, in October 2022, and hiding her remains, according to a press release from the Bucks County District Attorney's Office. 22 to 44 years for murder and dismemberment? That seems light. So he was found guilty of third-degree murder, possessing an instrument of crime, tampering with or fabricating physical evidence, obstructing the administration of law or other governmental function, and abuse of a corpse on April 11th. 22 to 44 years? 22 to 44. His charges are reduced as part of a negotiated plea agreement with authorities after he helped them locate his longtime wife's remains, which had been scattered across multiple locations in the Philadelphia area. On Tuesday, the couple's daughter talked about her struggles since the death of her mother, who she said was like a best friend to her. Quote, my mother is dead and my father killed her, Emma Capaldi said, per the release. I have the love of friends, family, even strangers, but my own father took the person who loved me most. He should never be free from prison to finally leave my mother's memory in peace, end quote. And I fucking agree. So the violence took place on October 10th, 2022, while Beth was asleep in the couple's bed. Authorities say Stephen strangled her and used a pillow to smother her. Stephen then moved his wife's body from the master bedroom to a back bedroom and then down to the basement where he dismembered her. Authorities believe Stephen disposed of her remains on October 12th, the same day she was reported missing by family in an apartment complex dumpster in Lansdale, and buried the rest along the Delaware River in Tinicum Township. Stephen was initially taken into custody for questioning. The investigation eventually led to his arrest on December 9th. According to a grand jury report, Stephen had incriminating evidence on his cell phone, including internet searches that read, quote, how to get away with murder, how to vanish and never be found, can a polygraph be skewed? Authorities also said in the report that Stephen initially claimed his wife admitted to having an affair a week before she disappeared. A grand jury uncovered no evidence of Beth's alleged affair and instead revealed that it was Stephen who was having the affair. Investigators said they theorized several motives for the crime, primarily the fact that he had found someone, meaning his mistress, that he loved and who supported his dream of opening a comic book store with his brother while his wife did not, among other things. Murder and dismemberment for only 22 to 44 years? So our next one comes from KIRO7. This is, and the title says, human remains found as investigators search for missing King County woman. New details in the discovery of human remains in a wooded area of Renton on Tuesday, after a woman vanished without a trace after leaving a Seattle Mariners game. Now, the King County Medical Examiner is trying to determine if the remains belong to the missing woman, but the family of Letitia appears to be proceeding as though she is no longer alive. A relative has started a GoFundMe page for her special needs son. The GoFundMe account was started by Amy Cosman, who says she is the son's aunt. She outlines the story of Letitia's disappearance and writes that her own son needs full-time care, his life now turned upside down. This comes a day after human remains were found in a wooded part of Renton near State Route 167, but we still don't know to whom they belong. Drone 7 shows the area where Seattle police found human remains Tuesday. Detectives said that they were acting on leads they got while investigating the disappearance of her. Quote, big trucks came down with the guys in the white suits to investigate, said a neighbor near the scene. One of the police said, yeah, they found a body. So this comes 12 long days after 58-year-old Martinez Cosman and 46-year-old Brett Gitchell were last seen together at a Seattle Mariners game. So here's a timeline of the disturbing events, right? The game was March 31st. 2 days later, Gitchell allegedly kidnapped her special needs son, drove to Renton, and tried to strangle him. He fought and stumbled out of her vehicle, the honking horn alerting neighbors. Quote, after the honking, like, that's like when we seen him right here by himself, said a Renton neighbor. And you don't see a vehicle take off. Never seen a vehicle take off. Never seen it. I didn't even see the headlights, end quote. 2 hours later, Martinez Cosman's vehicle was found abandoned and on fire in Seattle. That's when Seattle police took over the case. On April 5th, they arrested Gitchell for the attack on Martinez Cosman's son. Then Tuesday, the disturbing discovery of human remains, the site just a mile and a half from where Martinez Cosman's son allegedly escaped Gitchell's grip. The gravity of the case only now settling in for the neighbor who called 911, quote, if we wouldn't have called the cops, I feel like maybe something else would have occurred that night, end quote. Indeed, the King County prosecutor has charged Gitchell with attempting to murder her son. Always something with King County, you know what I'm saying? So the next one actually comes from TMZ, so we'll take this one with a grain of salt, right? But I remember something about this previous, and so this is an update to that. But it says OnlyFans model Courtney Clenny, slain boyfriend's family sues for funeral expenses. So Courtney Clenny, the OnlyFans model accused of murdering Christian, her boyfriend, is being dragged to court by her slain boyfriend's family. They want her to pay for his funeral. According to a new lawsuit obtained by TMZ, Christian's estate is suing Courtney and others for negligence related to his brutal stabbing death. In the documents, the estate says it racked up a ton of expenses for Christian's medical care and funeral arrangements, but they want Courtney to help foot the bill. What's more, the estate is demanding damages from Courtney to cover past and future mental pain and suffering for Christian's family, plus past and future loss of his future support and services to his family. So she is charged with second-degree murder for her boyfriend's April 2022 stabbing death. She was arrested 4 months after the fatal incident, and while she admits stabbing him, she claims it was done in self-defense. But all along, the boyfriend's family has believed Courtney killed him in cold blood, and the family has previously told us they hope she's convicted and sentenced to life in prison. TMZ reached out to Courtney's camp about the lawsuit, and so far, no word back. The next one is back to KIRO7, and the title is Woman Arrested After Husband Found Beaten, claimed she was, quote, tired of taking care of him. And in her mugshot, she's got some bruises on her face too, a little bit of a swollen eye. Peoria, Arizona. An Arizona woman was arrested after her husband called 911 claiming she beat him. So the police officers were called out to a house near North El Mirage Road for an aggravated assault Monday night, according to AZ Central. When officers arrived at the house, they found a man with multiple facial injuries reportedly caused by a metal pipe. The man told the police that his wife, Mary Beth, passed out near the door of their house. When she woke up, she reportedly started to yell at him, saying that she was, quote, tired of taking care of him, police said. The man uses both a walker and a wheelchair due to medical issues. They are obviously elderly, according to records obtained by AZ Central. Police said he returned to his chair and his wife grabbed a 5-pound metal pipe and began hitting the man in the head and face. At first, the man was unable to get away from her and was hit about 4 or 5 more times before he managed to get away and call 911. She reportedly fled the scene before police arrived but was located quickly after. According to court paperwork obtained by AZ Central, she was arrested on suspicion of abusing a vulnerable adult, aggravated assault, and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. All because she was just tired of taking care of him? Jiminy Christmas. So our next one comes from NBC. And the title says, man facing hundreds of charges, including child and animal porn possession. This comes out of Hillsborough County, Florida. A Brandon man is facing a plethora of charges for sex crimes following an undercover operation in Hillsborough County. Austin Hoffman, 28, was hit with hundreds of charges, including child and animal porn possession and sex with minors. According to the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, undercover detectives caught Hoffman online in May 2022. Investigators said he repeatedly asked the undercover decoy to send nude images. He also lied about his age and claimed that he was 19 years old. Dude looks 39. This encounter led to his first arrest on May 19th for using computer services or devices to solicit certain illegal acts while misrepresenting age and unlawful use of a two-way communication device. The HCSO said investigators found over 100 videos of sexual child abuse on his phone. Footage found on his phone ranged from sexual child abuse, including infants, bestiality videos, and computer-generated child sexual abuse material. Ugh. So deputies learned Hoffman shared over 100 videos with other people as well. I'm sure they're tracking them down. On December 1st, 2022, Hoffman was taken into custody and charged with the following: 100 counts of out-of-state transmission of child pornography by electronic device, 100 counts of possession of child pornography, 10 or more images and content of images, 4 counts of possession of child pornography, realistic computer-generated videos of child pornography, 2 counts of film, distribute, or possess image or video of sexual activity with an animal. However, the investigation was far from over. Detectives found even more electronic devices with additional child abuse material and discovered Hoffman engaged in sexual acts with minors. According to HCSO, 3 victims were found by detectives and Hoffman was slapped with more charges, such as possession of child pornography, promotion of a sexual performance by a child, traveling to meet minor after using comp services devices to solicit certain illegal acts, unlawful use of two-way communication device, unlawful sexual activity with a minor, transmission of harmful material to minor, use of computer services or devices to solicit certain illegal acts. Hoffman was taken to the Hillsborough County Jail with a $3 million bond. Our next one comes from lawandcrime.com, and the title says, "Toxic relationship ends with excited killer bragging that part of woman's face was, quote, blown off by shotgun," says a witness. So the suspect charged in the disappearance and death of a 32-year-old Texas mother of 3 was allegedly, air quotes, excited about shooting the victim in the face when telling a witness what took place. That same witness 1 told investigators that the dating suspect and victim had been in a toxic relationship for years. The details about the apparent connection between Christopher Paul Maya, 34, and Michelle Morales Nakaza, 32, stem from an affidavit obtained by Law and Crime. On April 10th, cops said the victim's body was located in the area of Red Sands in El Paso County. In an update, police said that Maya was tracked down and arrested by U.S. Marshals in a parking lot Wednesday outside the Walmart Supercenter, the Woodrow Bean location in El Paso, Texas. So according to the El Paso Police Department, Morales Nakaza, a local resident, was reported missing by her mother on March 31st after family stopped hearing from her. An affidavit signed by El Paso Police Detective Charles Carrillo said the investigator, quote, believes that the defendant murdered the decedent and used the white Toyota Camry to transport the body of the decedent to Red Sands, where her body was dumped, end quote. The detective said that Morales Nakaza's family began to believe that something terrible had happened to their loved one who had not been heard from for over a period of days and stopped updating her social media. The mother of 3 was reportedly last seen at Baskin Robbins. So detectives met with witness 1, who stated he is a friend of the defendant, or the boyfriend. Witness 1 stated he knew that the decedent, or the female, and the defendant were in a toxic dating relationship for years, and that the defendant on multiple occasions told him he was going to kill her. So according to witness 1, Maya, just a few nights before Morales Nakaza vanished, had asked for help removing surveillance cameras rolling outside a residence. Witness 1 stated he thought that was, you know, suspicious and did not help him, documents said. A few days after that, witness 1 saw a missing person flyer on social media depicting the decedent. Witness 1 allegedly told cops that he only became more suspicious at that point and had a conversation with the boyfriend. Quote, defendant later confessed to him that he killed the decedent. The story he allegedly provided was one of waking up in a white Toyota Camry and shooting the victim in the face once and chest twice after assuming she took his wallet, which he claimed was missing. Witness one described the boyfriend as, quote, excited about shooting her and got more excited when he told witness one that part of her face was blown off from the shot, the document said. He then allegedly confessed to what he did. Wow. So our last article comes from NBC Bay Area, San Jose. The title says, Body Found Under Freeway Interchange in San Jose. The California Highway Patrol is investigating a body that was found under the Interstate 280 and Highway 87 interchange in San Jose Saturday morning. According to CHP, they received a call just after 9 a.m. about a body under the freeway interchange near the 500 block of Minor Avenue. CHP officers located the body in that area. There are no other details released at this time. It is developing, so we'll see if there are any updates. And that is what I have for you guys this week. I am also keeping really close tabs on the Lori Vallow Daybell trial. There's been some things learned that I'm never going to be able to unknow at this point. I've listened to the detective's description of the crime scene, the condition that the children's bodies were in. I found out that apparently Charles Vallow was going to email Tammy Daybell, which is Chad Daybell's wife, to tell her that he knew of the affair, and I don't know what all. There's a lot more coming out than even I knew, so of course I'll keep you guys posted. And also, I wanted to tell you guys really quick, I would love for you to tell me what social medias you guys actually use, which ones you use the most often. Give me like your top two or three in order, because I would like to be able to get you guys information faster. I've got a Twitch account now, or a Twitch channel, and I kind of want us to get together to maybe watch some documentaries or have open live discussions about some of these things, because I really want to talk to you guys about this stuff. So leave me a comment or DM me on Instagram at @serial_killing. There's the Serial Killing podcast fan group page on Facebook that a listener started. I'm very active on that as well. But somehow get a hold of me and let me know what you use so that I'm able to, you know, kind of contact you guys and talk to you guys more about things coming up in the immediate. So like if I do a live and we're going to watch something together, you don't miss it. Just, you know, let me know either way. But regardless, let's rock this week. I just feel like maybe we need to have a good week, okay? So follow along with the Lori Vallow trial if you are. Let me know what you think. Have a great week. Love you guys. Bye-bye.